This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli, reporter for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. Today, we're speaking with David Permy, who is CEO of Swift Enterprises, which is involved in intensive development on a biofuel renewable aviation gasoline to replace 100 low-lead. David, thanks for being with us.
Paul, great to be here.
I guess we should start by having an update on where Swift is in its developmental cycle. Swift, just in summary, is a biomass-based fuel that basically uses biomass, fermented biomass, to produce acetone, and then two component parts to form the basis of the fuel, a two-part fuel. And I know you're working on the processes to do that. Where does all that stand at the moment?
Well, let me answer that, kind of give you a real brief historical recap. The whole idea for the fuel started back in 2005 with a guy named John Zukowski, who's with the company on the fuels performance side, and John Russick, who's the founder and the chemical engineer. And they started looking around and discovered, a fuel component. That was actually had been discovered, or had been identified in a test that actually occurred back in 1958. A test with about 5,000 other hydrocarbons, and they started to investigate that. They started to put together some different formulations because the fuel, the singular fuel component by itself would not be a good. Would not be a suitable fuel. It's too heavy and vapor pressures were off. And, through really about 500 different formulations, they hit upon that two-part formulation. After some testing with it, they started to bring it forth through the ASTM testing process. There's one other thing, I'll bring up further to date as well, but there's one thing I want to make, clear. It is a biofuel-capable fuel. It's a biomass-capable fuel. So basically anything that you can make ethanol from, whether it's starch or sugar or cellulosic, we can make this fuel from. However, we can also make this fuel from feedstocks that come from, right now, from natural gas.
So that means this can be petrochemically based as well as biofuel.
Exactly. It depends on how far back into the process. So our process is to take that interim feedstock, right, and then process that forward into the Swift fuel. How we get to there is there's a variety of ways to do that. It could be bio, and it could be what's already in existence. Actually, both sides are already in existence, both the bio side and the natural gas side, but it's the pertinent thing to say about that is that the process, our Swift fuel process, can use existing refinery equipment to manufacture.
Now, when you say existing refinery equipment, do you mean existing petro chemical refineries, or are you talking about ethanol equipment, or both?
Well, you can actually do both, right? So if I just keep this discussion on, the catalytic process, if I keep this discussion just surrounding that catalytic process, that Swift end-state Swift fuel process can use existing oil refinery equipment, second-generation oil refinery equipment, since it's not a cracking process, it's a catalytic process. The first part of your question with the biomass side, yes, there's bio. We do have samples of bio feedstock now, of our feedstock, and it is being produced in the U.S. at smaller quantities. It's being produced in much larger quantities overseas as well. Regardless of where it came from, that feedstock gets fed through a refinery, a well-known refinery-type process. And what we have is, what is the input, what are the catalysts, how does that work, right?
Now, as far as the cellulosic side of it is concerned, where do you stand with producing the basic feedstock through that process?
Well, there's a number of different, and there's actually a lot of companies that are doing a lot of work in the cellulosic side for ethanol. There's also a lot of companies that are taking cellulosic feedstocks and turning that into sugars. Once they get that to sugars, then there's a process that is well known. It's been around longer than an ethanol process has been, literally over 100 years. And then that process can take those sugars and process those sugars into the feedstock that we need. And there's a number of companies that we're talking to that can do that from pulp mill waste. They can do that from wood chip waste. They can do that. There's even one company that's doing that right now from animal waste.
Now, if I read the patents correctly, the basic feedstock is acetone?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And I want to be clear that we understand where Swift's focus is. Is Swift actually doing work on the cellulosic side, or is it working on post-feedstock side?
We've done work on the cellulosic side, but not that much. Most of the work that we've done is on the acetone to our fuel side.
Where do you stand with the ASTM approval process for this initial fleet test, which is going to be up at Embry-Riddle University?
Timeline, I'd say, we're maybe 20%, 25% down the road with that. It's a bit of a dynamic situation. We do have Embry-Riddle signed up, and we're really proud of that. And they've done great things to help us, take the fuel forward. They will be our primary testers, and they have started on that. They're running the fuel preliminarily right now in a Piper Seminole. They've been doing that since February, and they've gone through about 500 gallons of fuel thus far. As we speak in Kansas City, is in the ASTM meetings going on, and we've submitted our preliminary report. It's actually pretty bulky on where our fuel is, which is part of our process, and from there we go forward.
When would you expect the Embry-Riddle wider testing to begin?
Well, they're going to use, what they're going to go with, the first aircraft they're going to go with is the most ubiquitous aircraft ever built, is the Cessna 172. They're going to, now for this testing to go on and for testing of any new fuel to go on, they're going to have to move that to an experimental category. So they'll take one of their airframes with a 360 in it, and they'll take that offline and register it as experimental and then start that testing. And that testing can be, will probably begin within a few months.
Let's talk a little bit about economics. If you look at this fuel, if it were to be derived from the cellulosic side, what kind of a cost structure do you see for it?
It all comes down to the acetone side, right? So the feedstock, like ethanol, like oil, the feedstock is the bulk of your cost. Processing fees, processing and distribution, taxes, FBO profit, I mean, those all roll into it, but really when it comes down to it, the bulk of it is our feedstock. It appears, and even right now, going from a natural gas-derived feedstock, we have a very detailed and researched technical economic model. Once we ramp up to a production size level, even with the acetone buying that at a wholesale commodity-based pricing today, we would be competitive with current pricing for 100 low lead.
Define competitive for me. That could be slightly less or slightly more.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about avgas, one of the big cost factors that come in are their distribution costs. And, of course, the further they got to haul it and the smaller quantities they got to haul it, the cost they get. So we're talking about average pricing, average distribution costs within the continental U.S. So, we're coming in, you're looking at somewhere around 5.5, and this is today. This changes, depending on feedstock costs, but, in between the $5 to $6 range.
If you look at it at this point, and if you were using petrochemically derived acetone, would a refinery that did that, a conventional refinery, have to be substantially reconfigured to make the fuel?
No, not at all. Yeah, there are a couple of refineries in existence today that are size, because, you know, one of the problems you have with aviation fuel is that it's a petite fuel. It's not a large market. So you're not going to get the interest of a large refinery. So you've got to get the right size refinery, and there's a number of those in the United States today.
Are there enough of those to address the transportation issue, do you think?
You mean the distribution issue?
Yeah. Right now there are, I think, between 7 and 10 avgas refineries scattered around. Be a similar number, do you think, that could produce this fuel?
There could be. I mean, I haven't looked across the U.S. to see how many of them there are. There are at least two, and those two, they have sufficient volume to meet aviation gasoline need.
If you were to guess right now, just a kind of an economic gut check, is it more likely that this fuel will derive from natural gas or from bio?
Well, gut check, I think a better answer is to say, you know, the great thing about that is with any fuel viability, there's a number of things I have to meet to make that fuel viable. One is it's got to be a good fuel. We have a great fuel. We're in testing now. We're seeing things here and there that we're addressing, but there's no need campersure. We're seeing a great fuel. The second thing I got to do is prove the economics of it, and we're well underway to do that. We've got a great model. We are in discussions with some of these specialty refineries. They're experts at it as well, so, you know, they're going to come back, you know, very shortly. In fact, I'd enjoy a follow-up with you on that after we get some more data back from them and either say, you know, yeah, exactly, or there's some slight alterations here. So I prove the economics, and then I got to get it certified. That's great. All right, that gets me well down the road. The fourth of the item I have to meet is, can you produce enough of it? Can you scale up enough of it to meet demand? Being able to go from multiple feedstocks, you know, whether they're natural gas or whether they're biomass, gives you complete flexibility and removes any dependence on those feedstock, any particular feedstock. So I think that's a huge bonus. It's a huge plus.
Is that question answerable at the moment?
Yeah, I believe it's completely answerable. It can be scaled up in 1 year. I mean, you literally do not need, because of that flexibility in feedstock, you do not have to build anything. Existing capital equipment is already in place.
All right, David. Well, thank you very much for the update. We appreciate your time, and we will take you up on the follow-up interview when you find out more.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Speaking with David Permy of Swift Enterprises, this is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AbWeb and Aviation Consumer. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.